This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We have grades that have come in from the All-Star Game. How do you think Luka did? We'll take your feedback right here on the AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text at 877-881-1053. General at your service, at ease. There's Brian Broaddus, Jeff Cavanaugh, Lucius Alexander here on Twitch. 1053thefan.com/fancam across the radio.com app now with instant rewind functionality. But yeah, I'd love to see what you guys feel about, Luka, 8-8-3, had more assists than field goal attempts. ESPN's grades here for the game. Gave him a B, not a bad score. A relatively quiet night for Doncic, content to primarily play setup man. 8 assists, most for any Team LeBron starter, and he had quite a few assists setting up there the game's MVP, Giannis. The Greek Freak took it home, and, you know, maybe if LeBron wasn't so unselfish throwing those lobs and setting him up, he wouldn't have been able to get there. So I don't think it was a bad game. I think guys, this game needs these kinds of role players who are, you know, ready to let others take the spotlight. Maybe it's a good sign that Luka's humble, but I also wish he would he'd start forcing the issue maybe next year, because this is kind of two just so games in a row. What do you guys say? Am I being too tough?
I think he was just chilling, and I don't want to say this, so Lucius, dump this when I finish, okay? But 877-881-1053. Does our guy kind of look chunky when he's surrounded by all the other All Stars? Just asking.
I think that's fair.
Uniform kind of look.
Yeah, kind of doesn't look like it. You know, just built a little different.
A little different, yeah.
Young. I think Luka, and this is always a thing about the All-Star game, right? Where it's like certain play styles. If you get to be the guy, you can stuff the stat sheet. Like Chris Paul, I think, had, I don't know, a million assists because he was the guy kind of running it. For Luka, until he's the guy that his entire team is like, hey, you're running it, he's not going to put up big numbers in an All-Star game, because the All-Star game is about Phil Mickelson stuff. It's about hitting bombs, whether those bombs are threes or rim-shattering dunks. That's the All-Star game.
Yeah.
It's Giannis skying and Damian Lillard and Steph pulling up from midcourt. That's the All-Star game. So for Luka, if you're not the guy handling the ball, you're just going to hang out and have one dunk and hit a three and move on with your day.
Okay. Unless you feel like I am so destined for superstardom that I'm going to go take the ball, right? And the fans voted me in too, guys. You know, coming to the bench, but right, Luka does not have that, that desire. I think to make a scene or to be difficult at all, and it's part of his personality. I think he's alpha enough around the maps, and maybe because of his age, it's okay in this setting as well. If he's 28, 29 years old, kind of taking the back seat to the next class of young guys, you know, as he's looking at his sneakers, as everybody else is putting on a show and jacking up threes, he's just like, well, you know, I guess I'll let them do their thing. I don't want to get in the way. I do think that psychologically is a good barometer for how you look at yourself among other alphas.
Yeah, and I don't know when, like, I think for him, you would have to remove, like, LeBron from the equation, and maybe this is a terrible point, but it popped up in my head, so I'm going to say it, because it's kind of what I do. Do you think that some of his teammates, or, like, it's cool that the fans voted you a starter, but we actually voted for Lillard, so
the Tony Kukoc thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, Lillard was featured. Yeah. Lillard was featured, and that's the guy that won the player vote, the media vote, but the fan vote is worth double and was a tiebreaker to make him a starter. But Lillard was a big part of the show, and he's the guy that Luka, quote, started in front of.
That is an interesting angle, Jeff. You know, Luka did get 32 minutes, so maybe, yeah, I like that. It's a good conspiracy right there. The coach did give him 32 minutes, but maybe the players, you know, weren't necessarily freezing him out, but maybe they weren't highlighting him in the way that they did Damian Lillard. That is interesting. Okay, a number of potential controversies then, I suppose, now that Jeff's brought that one to our attention.
Oh, crap.
How about the Giannis conspiracy theory, Jeff? What do you have for us on that front? 35 and 7?
Yeah, I watched the game.
Pretty dang good.
Okay, so Giannis set a new record for he was 16 of 16 from the field. Now, was I kind of half-assed paying attention? Yeah, I was. But at some point in that game, Giannis had a shot blocked. That's an attempted shot.
That is.
And
that
I
is.
Heard him like 30 seconds later, like, yeah, it looks like the official scorekeeper is going to say he lost control of the ball and that is not an attempted shot. I mean, we don't need to cook the books, man. 15 of 16 is fine. You don't have to break a record, but now Giannis has the record for the best All-Star game ever because he never missed from the field. He throws up threes that he misses by 15 feet, but they clang off the backboard and go in. And he has a, quote, perfect night. I saw your shot get blocked, Giannis. I know that you weren't perfect. You're not fooling me.
Still pretty dang impressive. That would make it a true 16 of 17. 9 dunks, 3 threes, you know. I was thinking by the end it would be more like 14 dunks and 2 threes, and it was like, yeah, but, you know, he made quite a few non-dunks, which I think is, you know, pretty dang impressive. And he deserved it. I thought towards the end Damian Lillard might have stolen it the way he made, like, 4 buckets in the final couple of minutes on that thing, including the game-clinching 30-footer. But Giannis's statistical compilation was just too much for the drama to overcome, and he gets an A, obviously. That should be an A-plus, I think, even if he did have the miss.
I think 30 feet is underselling how far.
Yeah.
Yeah. A Lillard. Oh. Dude, he was 2 feet inside half court.
Yeah, that's. But I'll tell you what's funny, though. You could go watch those guys, and I've been fortunate enough to go out, you know, to watch the Mavs and watch Lillard and those and Curry and those guys take shots in pregame. They stand out there and do that all the time. It's like they get on the other side of midcourt at the logo and just start firing away. And you're surprised. You're like, start counting. It's like, damn, he just made 4 out of 5 there. You know, stand in that range. It's nothing for those guys to let it fly from those spots.
Isn't it amazing how good humans can get throwing that ball?
Oh, geez.
That's like 44 feet away.
Yeah. I'll tell you what's impressive about what we talk about with Porzingis, those straightaway threes he takes just on the other side, top of the key. He, you know, you're like going, oh, no. I've got to the point where I've gone like, well, that's going in. You know, I mean, you get to a point where you feel like, it used to be
he's
like
confident.
I would hold my breath because I'd go, man, that's not. Oh,
what
he, why
doing?
Is he? Why is he doing that? And they're like, oh, it went in. Yeah, but those Curry was that night that I was out there at the arena, and he, I swear, he wasn't going to miss every shot. Every time it left his hand, I was going, it's going in. You know, I'm like, damn. You know, that's how these guys are. It's incredible to watch the ball leave their hands and how they're able to make that thing get in there.
Steph looking a little heavier as he gets to the other side of 30 as well compared to his rail-thin, 20-something version of himself. But by the end of that game, I was thinking, how cool would it be if Lillard goes home to Oakland before it's all done and Curry and Lillard play together and him and Clay are just like bombing, you know, 30 to 45-footers all game long and how much that could work. I mean, could you imagine how open the lane would be if you not only had to worry about Steph shooting from 30-plus, but Lillard on the other side, and it's like the defense is scrambling like crazy, and they're getting dunked on. And you know, it's like damn near we're running our half-court set, but we're getting full-court transition type of opportunities at the rim. We're getting fast breaks off our half-court sets. We're so far back here.
Well, thankfully, Lillard has too much pride for that, Gavin.
Does he?
He doesn't need to do what all these guys are doing, Blake Griffin.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to the Nets. We're all going to the Nets and the Lakers. Well, and the Clippers.
He'll wise
like,
up.
Let's go.
He'll wise up. He will. Get ready.
If he tries it for like 11 years and he's 34 years old and they still haven't even gotten to the finals and stuff's like, dude. And he can go home to Oakland where he's, you know, can sort of nail down that part of his legacy or whatever. I bet he would find that somewhat attractive if Steph and Clay are still getting it done.
I've actually found out that I like Steph now, and I think it's because his team's not very good. I just didn't like him when his team was really good. So, but I still found a sick, perverted joy that he missed a game winner, and then Lillard came down and took the same shot and buried it. I did enjoy that. So maybe I don't like him, but I think I like him.
You know, Steph was just nailing them in the first half. And by the end, if you hadn't tuned in, it would be like, wow, Lillard just one up Steph. But it was tit for tat all the way through. Jaylen Brown gets an A-, 22-5. It was his first All-Star game. He's been flirting with All-Stardom. But he looked the part. I felt like he did an awesome job. He made a bunch of threes. He was catching lobs. And he's one of those guys that is a step down. He's even farther way down than Luka is on the pecking order.
Yeah.
But he's a little bit older, a little bit more of a veteran, a little bit more comfortable, I guess, even though it was his first experience in the All-Star. Steph Curry gets an A. He's a 28 and 4 assists. He was 8 of 16 from deep. So he was just stroking it. It's not like he was making 30% and gunning. He was at 50%.
Is that the same as Lillard? Was he 8 of 16?
I think so.
I thought he fired 16 of them.
Oh, he did. He put 16 of them up. Okay. Yeah. I told you because I thought I wish Luka would have done that. Just go ahead. Just put him up. Go ahead.
He couldn't because he wasn't bringing the ball up and he was standing in the corner.
Yeah, every time he got it, he needed to just go ahead and put it up. Don't pass. Just go ahead and gun it up. I was thinking he had a shot at the MVP. Was that way out of line? I was thinking
going in, no.
Yeah, I was thinking he was going to try and show everybody like, okay, I'm here. You know, you gotta recognize me now.
He's got to get off LeBron's team. LeBron's got to stop drafting our guy, because then our guy could run the show. He's over there with his, you know, his hero, and like he's just going to the corner.
Yeah, but he was talking about he wishes it was East versus West still too. You know, he came out and said I wish the game was still East versus West. So I don't know. Maybe he wants to be on LeBron's team. You know?
We've tricked it up enough with this alternate scoring and quarter system. I think it's good. Let's get back to East and West. I think that's cool.
Yeah, because LeBron's just too good of a GM. He's 4-0 now. He picks better teams.
They let an injured guy pick the team, you know. And the injured guy's supposed to be the best player on that other side. Yeah. Okay. Paul George gets an A-. Speaking of beta superstars, and this is the guy we hope Luka is not between the ears. I don't think he is, but yeah, he scored just 2 points in the first half. Took some threes. Ended up with 15 points. They somehow give him an A-. I guess he was 5 of 7 from deep.
Yeah,
so
he was.
He was knocking him down pretty good. Yeah. Rudy Gobert gets a B+. 10 and 7. Yeah, you know, his game's not made for the All-Star either. He had a couple of dunks, and he was trying to, like, freak the rim or whatever you want to call it, and it was just like, I don't know, man.
He's the guy that's just there for alley-oops and the one guy who's trying for rebounds.
But he is
a giant.
See, I don't need giants catching alley-oops. I liked it when Chris Paul and Steph Curry caught alley-oops in, like, the same two-minute stretch. They're throwing each other alley-oops. I didn't know Chris Paul could get up like that. He did. Well, I think it was two-handed.
I think he's feeling it today, though.
He is.
I don't think he's got that in the bag anymore.
Yeah.
LeBron gets a B. 4 points, 2 boards, 4 assists. I
wish this guy graded for me in college.
Yeah,
I mean, this guy is like giving it like every like if you have 4 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, you get a B.
Maybe he's factoring in his general manager drafting.
Well, then,
you know?
All right, then say that. Point. Don't say stats. Say ability for picking team A+. Yeah,
right. He was one of 3 players on Team LeBron with negative on court plus minus.
Oh, there you go.
His teammates were plus 23 without him.
Oh no!
Yeah, I don't think LeBron should have got it. I think LeBron should have got a C-. Plus, he didn't want to be there, which is a downgrade for enthusiasm.
That's true. That's true.
Jokic got a B, 6, 7, and 5. He was setting teammates up. His unselfish extra passes set up Giannis at the rim. Did get a little goofy by pulling out a running circus hook shot that he couldn't bank in. Yeah, maybe it's just that you're a Euro. Maybe it's
just
tough.
Don't know, man. The itches don't know what they're supposed to be doing here.
Yeah.
Because they have all of these skills, but the skills we're looking for is throw it to the rim for a dunk and shoot it from 35 feet. Yeah. That's the skills we want to showcase. And they're like, wait, but I have really good court vision.
Yeah.
But, and I can finish down low or outside. And they're like, no, shut up. Throw an oop.
Team basketball?
Yeah.
The issues are team basketball guys, right?
Throw an oop. Yeah. Shut up.
Okay, Damian Lillard here. He is. He was 8 of 16. They say turns out the All-Star game has Dame time, too. His strongest All-Star performance, the three-pointer, got them the win at 170. 16 threes, many of them near half court, made his second of two such attempts in the first half, then started the second half in place of LeBron and finished with 8 triples, second only to Giannis.
Okay, just real quick, where is he as far as the best players in the league? Is he a top 4 in the best?
Top 8, I think. Maybe top 10. Yeah.
Every time
you'll see once the playoffs start.
Yeah. He's top 5. But top
same thing in Utah, right, General?
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
well,
same thing. Portland,
slightly
Utah.
Different, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. I'm keeping an eye on that.
Top 5 offensively though, right?
Yeah. Top 3 to 5 offensively.
And
yeah,
top three in terms of, hey, there's 4 seconds left and I need a bucket, I would pick him right at the top.
I mean, he's totally awesome, you know.
Wow.
And maybe they have the right mix with that team to take them farther than I'm giving them credit for. But, you know, smaller guys that shoot a lot and play no defense don't typically lead teams to NBA championships. And there's nobody else on that team capable of really taking the reins and setting the tone defensively and doing all those LeBron, Kawhi Leonard type of things. Okay. Chris Paul gets an A. He was really good. Man, Chris Paul, he's found a fountain of youth or something. I thought he could have been done like 6 or 7 years ago. He just keeps rolling.
So awesome.
It's Tom Brady of basketball.
Yeah. Sabonis got a C. Bradley Beal got an A- with his 26 points. He was putting off beta body languages as well, and that's one of the true alphas. He was. Mike Conley got a C, 3 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists. James Harden with an A. He was playing well. We'll talk about his fashion choice a little bit later on. Got more attention for that, actually.
Wasn't he wearing a poncho at one point?
Yeah, you know.
Okay.
It was interesting.
Poncho or,
yeah.
I was thinking about one of those things they give you at the salon when you're getting your hair done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting your hair cut. They're like, here, put this on so it doesn't fall on your shoulders. All we got to run, Nation. Mike Fisher is set to join us coming up next here on 105.3 The Fan. Yes, sir. Welcome back, Nation. It's time for Mike Fisher to join us. He is at Fish Sports on Twitter, a double insider. He knows everything you need to know about the Mavericks and Cowboys. Coming up 3:40. One player every NFL team should be signing this offseason. Who do they have for the Cowboys? You're going to find out in about 17 minutes or 17 minutes from that. Let's get about 12 good minutes of Fish right here, though. Segment is brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels, 214-333-3333. Go to truckwreck.com. It's also brought to you by Soda. That's state of the art. And here we go. Here he is, Mike Fisher. How the hell are you, Fish?
But I agree in general with Brian Broaddus's assessment of where the Dak Prescott negotiations might be in their heart of hearts. And that is to say, I don't think there's open animosity. I think there's some level of positivity. But this is offseason number 3 that you've danced this same dance. And I think it's very hard to trust your dance partner when you don't feel them moving forward. And the other partner doesn't feel the other partner moving forward either. So I'd like to offer 2 potential solutions given Cowboys negotiating history. You ready?
Let's have them.
Get face to face. Not Zoom, not phone call, not text, not rumors. Get in a meeting room. And I wonder if there isn't just enough animosity, just enough that Todd France, who I believe is based in Atlanta, you know, might say, well, you know, I'm not coming there. And Stephen Jones, the point man here, might say, well, fine, go to Clinton, Mississippi. It's exactly halfway in between Dallas and Atlanta.
You looked that up, huh?
Yeah, good catfish there, too.
Beautiful Clinton, Mississippi. Brian Broad has probably been there.
I have. It's a great town.
What's in Clinton, Mississippi? Is there a college?
Oh, there's no. It's a place you drive through when you're going through the South. All those good places, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, all good places to stop and get you something to eat.
82 miles from here, I think. That's the total. That's the exact midpoint.
Sure.
And I'm being semi-sarcastic here. Obviously, it would be conventional for the agent, Todd France, to come to the Star and sit down and wear your mask if you want to. And then one more thing. Dak Prescott gets to be face-to-face, too. And agents hate that.
They do, especially with Jerry in the room.
And by the way, of course, your lawyer doesn't like it either. Your lawyer doesn't want you to, you know, a lot of times, you know, like on TV, you'll say, I'll just be my own lawyer. And your lawyer's going, no, you're an idiot. I'm in charge of this. You'll get emotional. And a player would get emotional. Let me handle this. It's strictly business. But time and time again in Cowboy history, players have ended up winning just fine by going into the room with Jerry. And, Brian, what you're alluding to is Jerry is a closer. He is that.
One of the best I've been with.
I know they haven't won enough Super Bowls in the last 25 years, but I would make the argument, Brian, I can't think of anybody that I've dealt with in 40 years of doing this. I wonder if in 30 years of doing this you can. Who's a better businessman closer than Jerry Jones that you've ever dealt with?
Well, I know from my experience of the players that we needed to get when I was working for the Cowboys, the biggest one I was the Tony Romo one. I mean, that we were up against. Sean Payton did a heck of a job to get it to that point, and then Jerry came in and slammed the door. And so, that's what's so surprising right now, Mike, with what's going on with this team with the Dak Prescott stuff. That's what's surprising, because I believe that Jerry thought he had a deal. You know, he didn't.
That's where the bad blood comes from. Yeah. Dak was offended by the initial offer of 5 and 125, and Jerry got bad blood when he thought it was imminent and they backed out.
Yeah.
And that's 2 year old bad blood now. I don't know if they're gonna be able to put.
But you get into it, but Gavin, get him into a room and it goes away.
Okay.
You've been in a room with Jerry Jones. It'll go away.
Well, yeah, Mike, the problem we're running into right now is we missed the combine too. We didn't have our face-to-face at the combine. That could have been a whole 4 or 5 days right there of talking about things, negotiating things. That's where the agents and the bus was and all that. They got a lot of deals done on that bus. So that we didn't have the combine. That unfortunately might have put them behind, at least for this go-around.
I do think it's a team that's starting to value flexibility more and more, and maybe not getting the Dak deal done for another offseason gives them more time to evaluate things. You know, when we were talking about Amari Cooper earlier, Brian, and you said, I wouldn't look for a restructure on that because the team values the ability to move in or move out, later on down the road. If that's the direction they're heading for their contracts and this Dak negotiation that's dragging out is a consequence of that, I'm not totally disappointed in that approach. Maybe it's clunky and maybe they're not executing it perfectly. But, you know, the flexibility is a big thing and a big trend. And you shouldn't be locking into your good players as much as you should be taking things one season at a time. Now, maybe quarterbacks should be different because the rules protect them and they are that important. But if that's bleeding over there, and if the Cowboys have a long-term plan to fix quarterback if Dak's gone, like they're looking at the rotating market and saying, guys, if he walks, it's not the end of the world. And maybe our flexibility helps to offset the loss of value in not having your quarterback locked up long term. A lot of teams are taking roster management in the NFL into a new type of era. And maybe we're watching a little bit of growing curves as the Cowboys attempt to do the same.
Because if you're seeking flexibility by not signing Dak to a long-term contract, you are hurting your temporary flexibility. You're eating up $38 million worth of cap space that you wouldn't have to do unless you changed your plan, had you not changed your plan from what it was. Because the plan a year ago was a five-year contract. And now all of a sudden the Cowboys have come up with this miracle idea to be flexible. It's certainly possible. But Gavin, while we're all talking about flexibility, why don't we be flexible to get our face in the same room? And let me reiterate this about Jerry's history. Jerry closes deals. He doesn't win all the deals. The Cowboys didn't, quote, win on Tank Lawrence. Tank Lawrence won that negotiation. Do you agree?
Yeah. Yep.
But once Tank Lawrence told his agent, let me in the room, that deal got done. Got done like that day. I take you back to one of my favorite stories. Remember the Cowboys Cafe, Brian?
Yeah, right down there off MacArthur.
And of course, to some degree, there was something. Eventually, that turned into like the Bada Bing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Bada Bing.
It was a little bit of the Bada Bing. Michael Urban will not
without
be
the clientele, I think.
A little bit of, the clientele was a little more upscale, a little more clean cut than that. But Michael Irvin will not mind me telling you that I believe he was an investor in the Cowboy Cafe, and his only real contribution was he wanted to help conduct the interviews with the waitresses. That's what Michael's contribution was to the Cowboys Cafe. But one night, Irvin got his deal done, new contract with Jerry, and Irvin kind of decided he'd be the point man on his, and Jerry was the point man on theirs. And so afterwards, they go around the corner, and they invite a few of us to go. So we had the privilege of sitting there and having champagne and celebrating. And Irvin starts just laughing and screaming out loud and going, El Paso, El Paso. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, I made a proposal to Jerry the other day. And Jerry just looks up from his desk and says, Michael, El Paso. And Irvin goes, yeah, I know, El Paso, Texas. It's a city in Texas. And Jerry goes, no, it ain't a city in Texas. It's Spanish for I'll pass on that proposal you just gave me. El Paso. The next thing you know, they're laughing so hard and they're hugging and they're a-geeing and a-hawing, and they signed the deal. So I don't know. I don't think Jerry won that negotiation. I think everybody won because Michael Irvin was back in a Cowboy uniform. I think Dak Prescott in a Cowboy uniform is the best possible win here. And I think that the Cowboys probably need to concede some points. I'll get to a big one in a second. But absolutely, get me in a room. Brian, you've been there in a room with them. The room wins. Kavanaugh, you've done it. Gavin, you've done it. We've all been in a room with Jerry Jones, and the room wins when we're all in there. And Jerry uses his particular skills to get us where we want to go.
Did Tyron win? I think it's possible you lose. I think it's possible. Hey, we're all getting rich, and this is great. Nobody's really losing in this game. But as far as maximizing value, I don't think that happens. And I think face-to-face, Dak's agent knows if you get in there, then you're going to be agreeing to things that aren't in your best interest. So maybe Tank's agent and Tank decided to go in there after it was already made close enough that now we're hammering out the details instead of still looking for major concessions.
Interest is tough because I think Tyron's probably feels like he's done okay for himself. Although, could he have gotten more money? Sure. But could he have gone through more anguish to get more money? And maybe he decided it wasn't worth it. I want to be a Cowboy. Remember, by the way, the Tyron relationship with the Joneses and how influential that was in those talks. Tyron with his difficulties, of course, with his family. And I mean, the Jones family became very close and continues to be very close with him. So I don't know that – I bet you Tyron, on the whole, thinks his Cowboy experience with the Joneses has been pretty damn good. I think Tank thinks the same thing. We know Irvin thinks the same thing. And I would like for Dak Prescott to be able to say the same thing. And, Gavin, I'll throw one more out at you. And ESPN has recently touched on this. We've talked about the idea of the no-tag clause. Do a deal with Dak and then concede that. Tell him that in 3 years or whatever it's going to be, you won't tag him again. You could write that in. And ESPN has noted that that may have been the breaking point a year ago, that Prescott's side asked for it a year ago, and the Cowboys said no. Jeffrey Kavanaugh, that is a relatively small concession to make, that 6 summers from now, we're not going to tag you. You will probably have renegotiated the contract between now and 6 summers from now. So make some concessions here that cause the Cowboys to look like they lost, but get everybody in the same room, the agent, Mr. Jones, and the player, and let everybody have a chance at winning.
I think they could get him in the room, you know, and I like what you're saying, Fish. Do you have hope this is all going to happen, though?
Brian?
Go ahead. We lost Fish there. Fish, hey, we're going to let you go. He is at Fish Sports on Twitter. Gentlemen, an opportunity to react to what Fish was finishing up with there. Get him face-to-face, and maybe we could get a deal done. I like the idea. I think all the points that he made were really solid. I just don't think it's that realistic considering how much has already transpired between the sides.
Yeah, the history of this negotiation is that the agent is trying to maximize money for the player. And in real life, letting the player sit down with the owner is not going to maximize your money. Letting me handle it is going to maximize your money. So something will have to change. with the way that somebody feels, either Dak is going to have to tell his agent, we're doing this, or the Cowboys are going to have to concede on points that they have not conceded on over the years. And so I can't see it.
Yeah. By the way, guys, you know, as we've talked about the Dak injury situation a lot over the offseason, you know, something just hit me when you said that, Jeff, that Dak would have to go to his agent and say, we're doing this.
Yeah.
If he was really worried about it, he would take that step, you know. Maybe there was a second surgery, and maybe that second surgery was very significant, but not in a career-threatening way, just in a it-set-back-our-timeline sort of way. Because I don't know how you could reasonably turn down, you know, 5 years of guaranteed $110 million if you were really concerned about your ankle and foot working properly coming up this fall.
For sure, yeah. I agree with that. I mean, and yeah, it's a sign of, look, if Dak had doubts or if the doctors had doubts about his availability or about the player that he can still be, yeah, they would very quietly and as quickly as possible sign whatever's put in front of them.
Yeah, now the Cowboys wouldn't care.
Right.
The Cowboys would be like, oh, there's a 30% chance the leg never works. Oh, that's fine. We're banking on this 70%. Yeah, let's just proceed as usual.
I mean, we gave a second contract to a guy who we knew his other leg didn't work.
What's interesting is that Dak continues to get treatment and work with people that are Cowboy employees.
Yeah, that is cool.
That just shows you the confidence that he has in that. But, you know, we'll see how it all plays out. Mike's right. If they could get together, you know, the agent might not want to get together. His plan all along might be, listen, I see free agency in the horizon. I'm not interested in doing this. You know, whatever the Cowboys try to do might not be good enough. Whatever the agent does on his side might not be good enough. That's what's left us all trying to kind of figure out. 3-year deals, 4-year deals, 5-year deals, 6-year deals, whatever the deal is, we're all trying to figure out what might work. Might not mean anything at all.
You know, Brian, I know we are late here, but do you think the Cowboys might be thinking, let them go test free agency and then we can match it?
You know, that's where I think that's a dangerous, dangerous thing to play. It might be something that they're willing to do. I mean, that TV money ain't going to hit till 2023 is what I'm hearing. So, yeah. I mean, if you're in a situation where you feel like it's going to be a small cap and all this, I think you're playing a very, very dangerous, dangerous. Now, if you believe that Dak Prescott is not worth $40 million and you believe that somebody else thinks the same thing you do, might be a gamble you're worth taking then.
You know, when Joel Corey was on, he did say, I don't know if teams are going to line up to break the bank with Dak. Yeah. Now, other people say it's going to be a bonanza, right?
Sure.
And there's going to be this bidding war and Dak will, you know, set the market and then some. But it's not clear how the market's going to look at him once we got to run. One player every NFL team should sign this offseason. That's coming up next in the Nation. All right, welcome back, Nation. Hope you're having a good one. The latest player the Mavs are connected to in trade rumors. Let's get that right here. And then in about 5 minutes, we're going to go over the one player each NFL team should add coming up in free agency. It starts March 17th. Of course, you got the Dak tag deadline. Still scheduled for tomorrow at 3 o'clock. But there are reports that the NFL and the union are in negotiations to push that back maybe a day, two, maybe 4 days, something like that. So stick around right here, home of the Cowboys. We'll keep you updated on all those stories and more. Let me give you some Mavs trade rumor-rooskies, though, and then we'll get to that Cowboys content. This one sounds fun, though, but I don't know. They're talking about Kevin Love, as I saw Chris Fedor with the report. The Mavericks are one team interested in trading for Kevin Love. They believe Love will help their three-point shooting and rebounding issues. And, you know, I think after looking into it, it's best if you can maybe wait to get him bought out, then you sign him. It's kind of like a Blake Griffin type of player. He's shooting slightly better, but it's about 11-6 and about 20 minutes per night. He has, guys, 30 mil left on his contract in each of the next two seasons. So, how's it get fun? If he is basically the contract you eat to get one of their assets. You know, they're one of the worst teams. Could they send you a first, or would they send you Colin Sexton to eat Kevin Love's contract over the next couple of years? A really good young star. I think it's 24 points and 6 assists per game, and he brings athleticism and shooting to your backcourt. That would be a fun secondary playmaker type of ball handler, dude. But, Yeah, you know, I think the deal would be KP for Love and a first round pick that's got to be like top 10 at the very worst, or Colin Sexton, which is what I'd prefer, guys.
Okay, well, you did make me Google Kevin Love. I'm excited that he's still in the league, so that's good. Mm-hmm. He's played twice this year.
Big side of those two games he's been lined up in. Yeah,
played a couple of games, you know, and hurt a calf.
He was injured all through his 20s. I don't see how you could look at that as anything other than, okay, we're going to acquire him and then buy him out or something like that. But, you know, would taking him on be worth getting one of those young assets?
Yeah, that's what I'm down for, is any trade that says, hey, you're going to take this on to get this. Because the second part is what I would care about, and then it's just a matter of balancing, all right, how much are we going to play this game with Porzingis where it's great. Oh, he's gone. All right, hold on. It's okay. It's getting better. Oh, he's great again. Oh, and he's gone. Is Colin Sexton worth that trade-off?
Yeah, he's worth it just because of the nickname Young Bull. That's why you got to get this guy.
Oh, I thought you were saying because his name had sex in it.
No, we could do that too. That would be a possible. Yeah, the nickname of Young Bull. And this guy, yeah, he's a 24-point-a-night guy. You know, 31 games
from three.
Yeah, he was almost 50% as a field goal just percentage. So the general is barking up my tree. If you're interested in adding a contract so you can go get a guy like this, I mean, his career in 178 games, almost 20 points a game.
Yeah,
come on, sign me up for stuff like that, young guy.
But yeah, if we're taking your call for Kevin Love, that's going to kill our cap space, right?
Sure.
And we need that cap space to sign another player. So if you're gonna cancel that out with a young asset like Colin Sexton, who's already a star in this league, then we could possibly do that. Otherwise, I'm just hanging up on you. There's no combination of our players that's going to get close to $30 million that's going to make Kevin Love attractive. I think it's kind of like the Andre Drummond situation. Where, yeah, we're interested once they buy him out and we could get him at league minimum. Adding Love shooting and maybe rebounding could help our rotation as like our eighth or ninth guy. Maybe if Kleba's hurt, we'll put Kevin Love out there. That's where Love's career is right now.
Oh, he was a sweet man, too.
Well, he was nice, yes. And, you know, and he's been a good ambassador for the game. And, you know, he's been vulnerable.
But we need players, guys. Let's not be ambassadors. We got plenty of those. I watch the games every night. They show commercials.
He's a mental health guy, though, Brian.
He is a great mental health guy. I appreciate every single person that fights that battle every day. We need ball players, you know? I mean, need ball players. That's the bottom line. I mean, I am trying to get out of this 7-8 hole, somewhere like that. I'm trying to move this team up the ladder. And, you know, we got to get the COVID stuff behind us. You know, might need one or two more pieces to make that happen. We need ball players on this team to get that going.
Got to climb that ladder like Dogecoin is today. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, is Dogecoin hot again?
Yeah, that's Mark Cuban's newest project, hyping Dogecoin. He was tweeting about it over the weekend, and I think that along with Elon Musk pointing out Doge backwards is E-God, it's kicked it up, and maybe a 20% in the last day or so.
I just want to be one of these guys or gals that says something on Twitter that just affects the market in a way where everybody makes millions.
Yeah.
I want to be that guy.
Being able to swing the market by yourself is quite an advantage.
Yeah, just swing the market by yourself, you know, talk about some other country and just swing the market in a whole other direction. Yeah.
You know, the cool thing is these billionaires are finding out that, you know, they don't have the rules in crypto like the SEC does. So you can try to swing it and influence it in whatever way. You can be owning it. And there isn't the rules around it. So there's all kinds of fun to be had with these guys.
I'm about to start swinging these stocks around. I'm just going to post everything that I have. Is that legal? I'm not a financial advisor, right?
I don't know.
I wouldn't do that, Jeff.
I think payola and plugola comes in because we're broadcasting. Yeah. You know, we are going to get governed by a federal branch ourselves.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Right. With the FCC coming in.
Come on, stocks. Do what you need to do now. Let's go.
Okay, one player every team should sign this free agency. It's coming up now next Wednesday, March 17th. We're going to be off and running. This is about to be one of the most exciting times for sports radio in the NFL, especially, you know, with spring training starting to, you know, hit its full stride. We'll have baseball, we'll have basketball playoffs, we'll have NFL free agency and OTAs right around the corner here for it. And we look forward to, you know, sharing this spring and summer with you. Bleacher Report did this list, and they went over all 32 teams and gave you a player they think this team would be wise to sign.
Dak.
And yes, and of course they acknowledge Dak's number one.
LP.
But, yeah. Maybe LP should be in this conversation as well.
Yep.
You know, two pretty important guys there for making things flow. But they acknowledge, listen, Dak's been talked about so much. Let's talk about something else. Cowboys need a safety. Demarius Randall is a name. 2015 first-round pick. I remember big time from you guys talking about back then. And he was decent for the Browns at 18 and 19. Signed with the Raiders in free agency last year. He was released before spending most of last season special teaming it with Seattle.
Sounds like a cowboy.
He topped 80 tackles for the Browns in 2018 and should be available at near veteran minimum. So, yes, Jeff, I agree with that last statement you made there.
Sounds like a cowboy, veteran minimum. There's a lot of safeties out there. Like, I'll throw another name out there. We talked about him a year ago, and no one ever wants to keep him for some reason. Trey Boston. I think he was with Carolina last year.
He had a chance to do something with Trey Boston a while ago, and everybody was fighting for Trey Boston. He had a Pro Bowl year, and nobody still wanted him.
Yeah, he wasn't great last
year. What's up with Trey Boston? What's his problem?
I don't know. He wasn't great last year, but the 2 years before that, he was good, very good. And he's a free safety, which the league is desperate for, but every offseason it's like, hey, guess who else is a free agent? Trey Boston. Yeah. But, you know, if names like that, sure. That's what the Cowboys are probably going to have to do, right? Because to get ready to draft, you got to try to fill everything, and they need a safety.
Well, I hate to break this, break your guy's heart, but the first signing they're going to have is probably Jason Witten on that one-year contract, so just get ready for that.
Oh, no.
Heck yeah, let's go. Line him up.
That might
the one-day contract?
The one-day contract, that might be your only off-season get, so enjoy that, Cowboy.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Only one?
Only one. That's it.
they're not going to do anything else?
No, probably not. I mean, we're going to have these conversations, but, you know, probably not. I would.
Nothing of substance, right? They'll have to make veteran minimum type of signings. But...
Sure. I mean, I don't see how it is. I mean,
No, you're right. They don't have the space. We're getting our hopes up.
Yeah, I want to believe in this front office. I really want to believe, but I'm struggling with it right now. I really am.
Last year they had like 20 after Dak was tagged, and they did a decent amount of shopping, but that's not normal. You know, from 2016 to 2019 at least that four-year period, they had shut it down as far as spending. And, you know, maybe until next offseason or the one after that, they're going to have to go back into that mode of pretty much league minimum deals to fill their thing out. Okay, Giants, they say a Bleacher Report here, they pick Curtis Samuel of the Panthers, a wide receiver option. They need playmaking. The Eagles... wide receiver Josh Reynolds, 618 yards with the Rams last year in his fifth year in the NFL. He's now a free agent. They gave a Ryan Fitzpatrick to the football team there in D.C., 38 years old.
Don't need to hear that.
Let's go. Yeah.
He could win a game. He's going to put it in the
or
air.
Six.
Yeah.
Hey, look, he could threaten that 30-30 thing that Jameis put together. Fitz is fun to watch.
Tampa needs to sign Melvin Ingram III, the Chargers pass rusher free agent. He's 31, had zero sacks in eight games last year, but Tampa's going to lose Lavonte David and Ndamukong Suh and Shaq Barrett probably even a couple more guys. And then the Seahawks will go tackle Rick Wagner. He spent 2020 in Green Bay and over 600 snaps allowed, just one sack. So if they keep Russ, that'd be a step in the right direction for keeping him happy. All right, boys, there we go. It's two down, three to go. Let's talk a little more NFL, the draft and quarterback. Other than Lawrence, is there anything special about these guys, or could they just wait for another class next year if things aren't going well with number four and we get to late April? Let's discuss that coming up next right here in the G-Bag Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.